All right. Good morning. We are so glad you're with us this morning. Pat, I apologize about that video. Don't know what happened. I'm going to talk to you this morning about saying yes to God, and so you have plenty of opportunities. You can meet Pat back there at his table, and there's lots of places to say yes to God. When you give in the offering, you're supporting Serve Denton, and you're supporting all the ministries that they serve, so you're doing great things with your generosity, and so we just wanted you to connect and see some of those exciting things you're doing. 82 people a day, huh? We ought to look about building a wall around Denton. That didn't sound very outreach-oriented, does it? Okay, so you know what? Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a word that comes from the Latin. It means to come. And it's kind of church shorthand for Adventus Domini, the coming of the Lord. And so I thought Advent was just a type of countdown calendar that had little windows that had chocolate behind it, until I realized there was something more than that, but those are good too. It is a kind of a countdown calendar. It is the countdown to the nativity, to God's drawing near to us. That first Christmas. But, you know, James mentioned something earlier. In our schedules, our busy schedules, we're shopping online, we're shopping in malls. Anybody still go to a mall? Sometimes. Our debt that's increasing and the stress of all the different things you've got to go to, events. It's easy to miss him as he draws near. And so this year, instead of being a bystander to the nativity, what I am proposing is that we be present in the story. Present in the story. And let the Christmas story change us in some of the ways that it changed the characters of the story. And so we're going to start this morning with Mary and Joseph, because that's where the story starts. We're in Luke chapter 1. Beginning in verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee, in Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary asked the angel, 'How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?' And the angel replied to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born is to be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age and is in the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' said Mary. 'May it be done to me according to your word.' And then the angel left her." I'm going to repeat that last statement. "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Beautiful. So I don't know that I've told you this story. I have a tendency to repeat stories. If you live in my house, I typically begin things with, "Have I told you about the time?" And like people just leave the room. But I haven't told you this story, but when I met Christine, it was at her church in Omaha, Nebraska. I was working as a college intern up there, trying to decide if I really was going to go into ministry. And I was dating my college sweetheart, my high school sweetheart, back down here in Texas. And then I saw her walk by. And I don't know if you've ever seen those cartoons where there's a wolf and the eyes bug out and the heart starts doing this. That's what happened. And so I thought to myself, there's going to be problems back home. And later on when I met Chris and I got to know her, I was like, yep. And I went back to Texas and I said, adios. I was very kind and sweet and, you know, good Christian man. It's not you, it's me. That whole thing. And I convinced Chrissy to move down to Texas. And I was convincing to her. I got her to move here, but she knew I was going to ask her to marry me. And she was very patient. She was working and I was working. And on the night that she was sure there was going to be a proposal, I took her to dinner in Dallas. And then beforehand, we stopped at the Dallas Water Gardens. And we were sitting there with our feet in the water. And I said, you know what? I know there's something you've been wanting for a long time. And I got a gift for you. And so I reached behind me and she's waiting for this little felt covered box. And I pull out a Nintendo Game Boy. Now kids, you don't know what that is, but it's like really old electronic games and they were great back in the day, but they were awful now. But she really did want one. And so I don't know if she was really joyful or fake joyful, but anyway, but she was gracious, and so I said, well, let's play it. So she turned it on, and it didn't work. And I said, well, I put new batteries in it. Maybe I put them in wrong. And so she turned it over, opened the back, and instead of AA batteries, there was a ring. And she said yes. That's the amazing thing, a whole story. Can't believe it. We were engaged. What's that? Yeah, we didn't do that back in the day. It was just us. That was 31 years. We've been married 31 years ago last week. So, keep going. So anyway, here I'm getting somewhere with this. We're both so excited. We had a wedding now to plan. And where would it be? When would it be? How much would it cost? Well, that one was easy because we didn't have any money. But we didn't care. We were just so excited. We were going to be together forever. That's all that mattered. And that's all we cared about. And, you know, 2,000 years ago, it was the same way. The world hasn't changed that much. I mean, people haven't changed at all. God certainly hasn't changed a bit. And so I can imagine Mary and her joy and excitement over her engagement to Joseph. I'm sure he did it a lot better than I did when he asked her. And then out of nowhere, the angel of God approaches her with this truly preposterous proposal. And how in the young woman, in the world did this young woman respond with such a sold out yes? To something so crazy, a virgin birth, pregnant with God's son, Israel's Messiah. But Luke gives us a hint, I think, in chapter 2, verse 19, Luke says, Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And he mentions it again in verse 51 of chapter 2 as well, that she was treasuring these moments. And that word means to store up. She was storing them up. It's the same Greek word we get thesaurus from. And you know what a thesaurus is? A treasury of words, a set, a collection, anthology, conglomeration, compendium of words. Just off the top of my head. No, I spent about 5 minutes going through thesaurus, finding the... All right, so treasuring things is what a new mother does with her child. She writes down every detail of what the child is doing. Mary's listening. She's pondering the angel's proposal. And she was young, but she wasn't a foolish little girl. I mean, she has this interview with the angel, and she's asking all the important questions. What? Why? How? She was old enough to understand the implications that this was not going to be an easy journey for her. And as she questioned, and as the angel began to answer those questions, I can imagine that her understanding began to grow little by little. She began to understand one thing after another. It was like light bulbs were going on, and she was recognizing what was taking place. The Messiah that Israel had been waiting for so long, 400 years of silence, was coming. The Messiah she was praying for was coming, and she had a role to play. God had picked her to be his mother. And so she said, yes. She said, may it be done accordingly to the word of the Lord, or of your word. But make no mistake, the yeses that she said were not easy. I'm going to give you a couple examples of them. The first one, of course, the big yes, came with scandal, right? Premarital pregnancy in a very conservative world. In fact, gossip about Jesus' illegitimacy followed him throughout his whole life. He never got rid of it. People were ribbing him for his whole life, and I can imagine the same was true for Mary, that throughout her whole life there was always whispers when she walked by. Okay, the second thing, what would her fiancé believe her? I mean, what would Joseph say? What would he do? He had every right to leave her and move on. Okay, then there's this idea of her wedding. Here's a young Jewish girl dreaming of her big day, been dreaming of it her whole life, and now that wedding is out the window. No big celebration, no big time with family. Now, I have a theory on that. So you remember when Jesus did his first miracle at the wedding of Cana? Jesus was invited to the wedding. Always a good idea to have Jesus invited to your wedding. And they ran out of wine, and it was going to be a fiasco. The bride's going to be embarrassed. The family's going to be embarrassed. And Mary, Jesus' mother, was there, and she says, you need to do something. And he says, Mom, it's not my time. And she says, oh, yes, it is. And he turned the water into wine, and he saved that bride's wedding for her because Mary knew what it was like to miss out on the wedding you've always dreamed of. It's just a theory. I can't prove it, but I'm sure it's true. Her son, God's son, will be born in a manger. His first bed would be a feeding trough. The family would immediately be forced to leave Israel and flee from a murderous King Herod. Then there was the yes that when she said yes to God's plan, she would have to share her son with the world. And some people we know love Jesus. But we also know there are a lot of people that didn't. And she heard all the criticism, especially from all the important people. She heard the nasty things they said and the memes that they made about him. And eventually, of course, the big yes was that she would have to be present to watch him tortured and murdered on a cross. So Mary said yes to God, but y'all, those were some hard yeses. And it began with that first yes. She accepted God's plan. But really what I think is her life was a series of yeses. It was one yes at a time. It was, I think that's the way our lives are. When we decide to follow God, it's layered yeses. You got that first one. When we decide to be present with God instead of a bystander. But then as we walk with him, there are more opportunities to come our way, more chances for us to say yes. And so Mary accepted God's plan. So the second person I want you to see this morning is Joseph. Mary taught us to accept. Joseph teaches us to yield. All right, so we're in Matthew chapter 1 now. And don't judge me, but one of my favorite movies is Christmas Vacation. I think people are sitting, I think people like literally walking out right now. I knew it. Heathen. Well, I relate to it because I can identify with Clark Griswold and his dream of the perfect Christmas, right? And so he, no matter what he tries, the gifts he's going to put in a swimming pool, he takes everybody on outings, the lights, they all hilariously fall to pieces. Try as he might, the perfect Christmas eludes him. And he discovers the reality, and I guess this is the theme of the story. The reality is that as long as people are involved, there are no perfect Christmases. And we might add, there's no perfect marriages, there's no perfect families, there's no perfect churches, except Pat's church, didn't buy one. Because it turns out we are all broken. And that's what Paul says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it turns out that first Christmas was broken too. Let's read it together. So Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And so her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which translated means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord had commanded him. He married her, but he did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. I have a tendency, I won't speak for you, so I'll just talk about myself. I have a tendency to kind of idealize the nativity. With Christmas carols, with the artwork on greeting cards, and all of that. But for Joseph, that first Christmas was far from ideal. His world was shattered by the news that his bride-to-be was pregnant, and of course he knew he wasn't the father. Try to put yourself in his place for a moment. What do you feel? Anger, I would say, immediately. Resentment, brokenheartedness, grief. The realization that the life that you'd planned was shattered. It was ruined. And how in the world could you believe that explanation she gave? That preposterous explanation. But God is good. And God intervened. And God spoke to Joseph. And when God spoke to Joseph, Joseph yielded to God's plan. Joseph shows us a yielded heart that looks a lot like God's heart. God's heart is broken by our turning from him, by our sin. But it's bent on restoration. It's broken, but he hasn't given up on us. Joseph had every legal right to turn Mary out, to cast her aside. But Joseph's heart is like God's heart. It may be vulnerable, but it is strong. And it's protective. Like I said, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage, perfect family, perfect life, perfect Christmas. Dreams shatter. life surprises you. But instead of fighting the reality, God invites us to embrace it, to discover the beauty that He brings in brokenness. You see, it's not God's way to sweep up the broken into the dustpan and then toss us aside in the trash. Isaiah the prophet reminds us, he says in Isaiah 42:3, He will not break a bruised reed, and He will not put out a smoldering wick. So a reed was meant for writing. A broken reed was useless. A lamp was meant to give light, but a smoldering wick is smelly and annoying. And yet God loves the broken. He chooses the broken. He uses the broken. Years ago, right here in this building, one of our overseers was here to speak on a Sunday morning, and that evening we had him come and lead us in a prayer meeting and a time of worship. And this overseer has a very strong prophetic gift. And so after church, as we were doing an altar call, a very dear friend of ours went up to the altar for prayer. Okay, so you gotta picture her, because she's always put together. I mean, she's always got makeup on. She always looks beautiful. We used to call her Church Barbie. And so you can't look at her and say something's off. And so she walked up there, with Christine and me. We went up, for prayer with her. And he sat there for a second and then just really shocked us when he shouted, "Broken, shattered, a million different pieces of glass. But God is going to put them together again like a stained glass window. When what he creates in your life will be even more beautiful than before." Well, Church Barbie started weeping because she knew. Chris and I started weeping because we knew. But what the prophet had no way of knowing was that her husband had had an affair and left her. And now she was a single mom. And God was true to His promise. She is today a beautiful picture of restoration. God made a beautiful stained glass from what we were sure were just broken shards of her life. Paul said it this way: "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed." In order to reach a broken world, God Himself broke. He sent His Son to a broken world, to a broken family on a broken Christmas, eventually to die a broken death on a cross. And somehow, as only He can, God made that story beautiful. Joseph's plan was very different from God's. But when Joseph heard God's plan, Joseph yielded to God's plan. And he took Mary in, and he loved her, and he cared for her, and he protected her, and he adopted Jesus as his son, and he reared that young man to be a man of God. Years later, Jesus was in Jerusalem, and they drag a woman. They're clothes torn out into the street. It's a religious mob, and they're all up in arms, and they are screaming that we caught this woman in the act of adultery. We're going to sit in judgment on her, and we're going to execute her. One person stood up to that mob, and it was Jesus. And he was just practicing the masculinity that he'd learned from his adoptive father. Later on, the night before his crucifixion, Jesus is struggling. He's on the Mount of Olives. He's praying. He says, "Lord, I understand your plan, but is there another way? Is there something else besides the cross? But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." A prayer that I am absolutely sure he heard Joseph pray many, many times. Because in that first Christmas, Joseph learned to yield to God's plan. So I'm not sure where you are this Christmas. Maybe like Mary, your future looks frightening, lonely. But God has a plan for you, and he's inviting you to join him in it. God wants to change the world, and he's inviting you to join him. Mary shows us the power of acceptance. Today we celebrated this youth team saying yes to God and being a part of God's plan. Today we've invited Serve Denton and Pat, who left corporate world to say yes to God, to be a part of what God was doing. What is God asking you to do? And will you say yes to what he wants you to do? Maybe you're like Joseph. You're frustrated with the twists and turns that you're going through in life right now. Things aren't going quite the way you thought they would be. Are you willing, like Joseph, to yield to God's plan rather than your own? Are you willing to trust him with your future? Those are the lessons this morning. Accept and yield. Christmas changes everything. This Christmas, let's not be bystanders. Let's be present. Join me in prayer, would you please? Thank you, Lord, for the example that you gave us in your word of your parents, your adoptive father, Joseph, and Mary. I want a heart like Mary's, so that, Lord, if you ever ask me anything, my initial response is yes. Lord, I want a heart like Joseph, who, when I see your ways are different than mine, I choose yours over mine every time. And so, Lord, I'm asking you personally, but also for us as a body, this Christmas, change us. We'd be present in this story. It wouldn't just be something we remind ourselves of every December, but that it would change us. We would apply your word to us. Holy Spirit, give us opportunities this week to trust you, to say yes to you. Lord, I know there are needs in this room. I know there are folks that feel broken and shattered at this moment. Lord, remind them of the hope they have in you. You'll not break a bruised reed or put out a smoldering wick. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your grace to us. Bless this season of Advent. May we not miss your coming. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We would love to pray with you. Stop out at the table and meet Pat and find out about Sir Benton. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. God bless you. Have a great week.